You need not say goodbye. The people will shout my name. Pilate will tell them there's nothing I've done to deserve this, but they will refuse. Pilate will stand me beside Barabbas, a murderer, and they will choose him over me. Pilate will appeal to the priest, insist on simply whipping me to appease their fury, but they will shout it louder, crucify, crucify. But still, you need not say goodbye. My hands will be tied to a post. The sound of the whip will ring in your ears and in your chest. The soldiers will peel the skin off my back. A ring of thorny branches will be pressed into my scalp until the blood runs into my eyes. Oh, but listen. You need not say goodbye. I will carry that cross. I will go to the place of the skull, and there they will drive the iron stakes between the bones in my wrist. With a hammer, they will nail my feet into the tree. I will be raised up as the world waits for me to die. Nevertheless, you need not say goodbye. Between two thieves I will hang. You may hear me speaking to my Father, your Father. You may hear me ask him, why? But child, you need not say goodbye. What you won't see, what you won't hear, what you won't know until all of this is done, is that in that moment, I was paying the penalty of your wrongdoing, every mistake, every act of envy, every word of hatred, every moment of violence and greed and spite, every selfish desire, every lustful thought, every moment of weakness and weariness, all the failures of human history will be in my hands and on my head. On that cross, I will suffer the wrath that was destined for you. Every guilty verdict fallen on me, your punishment will be paid for in my blood, and it will be enough. I will die on your cross. I will let out a final sigh. Know that I have loved you, and you need not say goodbye. But if you must, if you absolutely must say the word goodbye, then say it like this. Goodbye, fear. Goodbye, sorrow. Goodbye, rejection. Goodbye, shame. Say it like this. Goodbye, guilt. Goodbye, condemnation. Goodbye, all the regrets of the past. Look up at the cross and speak the words. Goodbye, addiction. Goodbye, chains. Goodbye, hopelessness. Right here in this place, say it aloud. Goodbye, captivity. Hello, freedom. Goodbye, loneliness. Hello, belonging. Goodbye, defeat. Hello, victory. This is the end of the curse. This is the demise of the serpent. This is all debts paid. This is, it is finished. Goodbye all the powers of hell. Goodbye darkness. Goodbye dread. Goodbye every sin. Go ahead and say it. Goodbye death. Speak and be free, but don't say goodbye to me. Yes, you'll see them put the spear in my side, but remember, it's only Friday, so you need not say goodbye.
Great. Well, let's just pray as I just close, bring things to a close, just share a few thoughts with you today from God's word. I'd just love to just be able to pray for a moment. And if you're comfortable with joining me, feel free to. And if you're here as a guest for the first time, don't feel obliged to have to, but I'm just gonna pray for a moment. God, I just want to thank you for all this day means. God, the significance, the power, the life of it. Lord, that you're here right now. And God, as you're here, I just pray you'll speak to hearts. God, you'll talk with us. God, you'll open our eyes to see you, our ears to hear you, and our hearts to understand. God, so just be among us now. Powerfully, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Great. Well, praise God. How awesome was that testimony? So, no dead God can change someone's life like that. And he really is alive. And I just want to not take too long, but I just want us to journey really just through the 3 days of Easter. And from the Friday, which of course we now call Good Friday, but had you have been there at the time, it would have been anything other than Good Friday. That would not have been the name you'd have given it. But I want to journey through the 3 days, Friday, the Saturday, and the Sunday. And I just want us to just think for a little bit about, to as best as we can anyway, what would it have actually have been like to have been there? And so on the Friday, we know that Jesus has been sentenced to death despite being an innocent man, despite Pilate finding no reason to crucify him, but gives in to public demand. And we know that he's flogged there with a heavy whip, the cat of nine tails. It's not your standard whip, but one that had bone and things intertwined into it to do maximum damage. And so on the Friday, Jesus is flogged. There's a crown of thorns that's pressed into his head. This is all happening on that Friday. He's stripped. He's badly beaten. And we know that that's the day that he's nailed to the cross and suspended, hung up on this cross in the hot sun for some 6 hours as he hung there, dying really what can only be described as an excruciating death. You know, all his weight hanging down on those nails. And eventually he dies, and they spear him through the side to be sure. This is all happening on the Friday. They spear him through the side to be sure that the job is done. The Romans were experts in the art of death, and they certify that this guy is dead. They would not have sent him to a tomb if they had any question over that. And so he's placed in a sealed tomb. Now, this has all happened on the Friday. What would the Saturday, the day after, have been like? And I think the answer to that question really depends upon how you felt about Jesus. And so on the one hand, you've got the extreme of Jesus having enemies, and we'll just talk about those in just a moment. At the other end of the spectrum, you've got Jesus having people who loved him, who followed him, his disciples. And so the emotion of Saturday would have varied differently depending on if you were an enemy of Jesus who was part of being responsible for getting him upon that cross, or if you were a friend, a follower, a person who loved Jesus. And the only thing that they had in common was that they had both said goodbye to Jesus. They had said goodbye to him. Now, for the enemies of Jesus, it was goodbye, but it was kind of goodbye and good riddance. They vehemently, passionately opposed the whole movement of everything he stood for, of people following him. There was jealousy and everything. They wanted to squash that whole thing. And so now it's Saturday for them. It's kind of like a good day because Jesus is in the grave. They've silenced him. They've put an end to this whole kind of Jesus movement. If you like, his life is over. The miracles that they've kind of seen happening and they didn't like, even though people were getting healed of all sorts of crazy things and wonderful things were happening. They'd put an end, they thought, to that. That everything kind of seems in tatters in their mind. They've made Jesus to look a failure and to have not achieved. And so Saturday for them is a good day because it's kind of goodbye in the sense of we ain't got to worry about him anymore. He's in the tomb. He's kind of Jesus is yesterday's news. And so we don't have to think about him. It's goodbye. I ain't got to worry about him anymore. But you see, on the other hand, you've got Jesus' followers, and their goodbye was not a goodbye and good riddance. Their goodbye was a painful goodbye because they love this guy. In fact, they've invested their life following him. Their hopes were in him and all the things that he'd said, and he meant so much to him. And now literally, if you like, hope's in the grave, hope's dead. And on Saturday morning, as they wake up, What are they thinking? The Bible tells us they've run, they've gone into hiding for fear of their own lives. Imagine being in that locked room, having just lost someone who you loved, who you'd put all your hope in, who you thought was the one, and he's dead. And they're trying to come to terms with it. Saturday's a day of despair. We're never going to see Jesus walk through the door again. We're never going to see his face again. We're never going to hear his voice again. We're never going to just spend time with him again. But just this little thought that Saturday could have been so different for Jesus' disciples if someone in that room had believed and had remembered and had done the maths. Because as they were in that room, that was the second day. And on many times, Jesus had told them that they need not say goodbye. If someone had done the maths, they'd have figured out, hang on, day one, that's Friday. Jesus has died upon the cross. There's day two, but tomorrow, whoa, it's day three. Tomorrow's the third day. Today's Saturday, but Sunday is coming. Mark 9, verse 31, Jesus had told them, here's just one example of that day. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days, he will rise. How different Saturday could have been if they thought, hang on, day one yesterday, day two today, tomorrow's the third day, tomorrow's Sunday, Sunday's coming. And Jesus said, he will rise. But John tells us they couldn't perceive it. They didn't understand it. They didn't really get it. And so they'd said goodbye, even though Jesus had said to them, you need not say goodbye. How different Saturday could have been. You know, in my house, if something exciting is happening the next day, you know, you kind of feel it in the atmosphere in the house. So I remember when my brother moved away to Australia and he left us a gift as a family to have a trip to Disney. You know, and I remember the night before Euro Disney. I remember the night before when you put your kids to bed and, you know, the next day you're going to Disney and you're like, you do that thing, don't you? You go, we best get an early night. And you can't sleep, can you? You know, like, it's the theory, isn't it? You best get an early night because you'll enjoy it. Well, I can't even sleep. I'm buzzing. And, you know, the kids are excited as well. And you're doing that. You can hear them talking and chatting. You're saying, will you be quiet and go to sleep? And then you're laying in bed looking at your wife going, I can't sleep because I'm so excited. You're kind of that excitement, you know? And then the next day comes around, you're not kind of missing, you're up. Do you ever do that thing when you kind of, you know, you beat your alarm clock because you're so excited? You know, you're waking up before you, you know, I think if they'd have got this, I kind of imagine the disciples, it's like Saturday night, it's like, boys, tomorrow's the day. Let's try and get some sleep. I can't sleep. I'm so excited. Saturday, tomorrow, Sunday. It's the third day. You know, and you imagine them getting up early on the Sunday, running, legging it to the tomb. Jesus is going to be at the... But no one is. In fact, the Bible tells us just two women go, and one of them named Mary Magdalene, and they're just going. And the only reason they're going is to embalm the body of Jesus. No one else is going. All the disciples are kind of still at home, are kind of hiding. And so that excitement wasn't there. No one really kind of understood it. And Mary gets there and she finds the tomb is empty. Jesus' body is gone and she thinks he's been stolen or taken away or moved. And she runs off to tell a couple of the other guys, Peter, and they believe it was John. And she's crying outside of the tomb when Jesus appears to her and he speaks to her and he calls her by name. And suddenly she realizes, I need not have said goodbye. The cross was not goodbye. The cross was, I'll see you later. She's, whoa, and her mind's kind of blown. He's alive. And she runs from that place. And it says in John 20, verse 18, she's announcing as she runs up, I have seen the Lord. Saturday, a day filled with sadness and hopelessness and pain and doubt and questions and negativity, turns into Sunday. And Sunday's a day of joy. We didn't need to say goodbye, she goes to proclaim. Now it's Sunday evening. And Jesus appears to all the disciples to say that very same thing, that you didn't need to say goodbye. John chapter 20, verse 19 to 22. It says, on that evening of that day, that Sunday, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Jesus has just risen this morning. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. How many people know that if Jesus just appears in a room that you're hiding in for fear and he just appears there, that's kind of your heart's going to be racing a bit. And it's like, whoa, Jesus has suddenly appeared in the room and says, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I just want to make three quick observations with you today about three things that happened on that first Easter, on that Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday, that kind of that are going to mean something, I trust, to us today. And three observations are simply this. One, the doors were locked. Two, there was a lot of emotion in that room. It says that they were in there for fear, but there was a lot of emotion in that room. We'll come back to that in a moment. Three, Jesus came to them and stood in their midst. And Luke 24:39 says, "When he stood in their midst, he said, 'Look at my hands, look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do.'" Three things I want you just to kind of take away from this kind of Easter Sunday message. The first one, as I said, was the doors were locked. Jesus didn't knock, you know, "Let me in." No one opened the door to let him in. Suddenly, Jesus is just there. You're hiding for fear and suddenly he's in the room. He's there. What can I get from that? I just want to simply say this to you this morning. I believe this with all my heart. No matter where you are, no matter what's happening, what you're thinking, feeling, or going through, Jesus can reach you. John Piper said this, "Today in your life, Jesus can go where no one else can go. He can go where no counselor can go. He can go where no doctor can go. He can go where no lover can go. He can reach you and reach into you, anywhere and anytime. There is no place where you are which Jesus can't penetrate." So no matter where you are, what's happening, what you're thinking, feeling, or going through, Jesus can reach you. The second thing I want to say to you today is this. When you're stuck in a difficult place, because Jesus is alive, he can get you out of there. Verse 19, as I said, tells us they were locked in the room for fear. Actually, understandable, legitimate fear, because they've just seen the one die on the cross, and now they're thinking, we're probably next. And so they're hiding for fear of their lives. But as I just kind of pondered that, I was thinking about that must have been a very emotionally charged room. You know, they're hiding there for fear. But on that Saturday, just imagine the kind of the weight of emotion. Anyone who's ever lost anyone they love, you know the whole kind of, is myriad of emotions the right thing to say? You know, you kind of just know all the kind of things that you feel. You kind of laugh one minute as you remember something else and cry the next as you remember something else. And this room is just charged with emotion as they're kind of sitting there. And so I imagine, I just listed a few, sadness and hopelessness and pain and doubt and questions and negativity and fear and confusion and unrest. But what I want us just to see is this, that it was right into the midst of their sadness, their hopelessness, their pain, their doubt, questions, negativity, fear, confusion, and unrest. Right into that, Jesus comes. And when Jesus stepped into that situation, when he stepped into that moment, when they realized that Jesus was alive, everything changed. Because Saturday had been such a dark and negative day, but on Sunday, when they realized Jesus is alive, it says in verse 20, then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. We need not have said goodbye. He's alive. And suddenly pain and sorrow and sadness, etc., gives way for this outbreak of joy. As they realize, it says there, when it says they were glad, it means that they were full of joy. What a difference Sunday was to Saturday. Saturday had been miserable. Sunday, they were glad. They rejoiced, it says, exceedingly. And when they realized, when they had that encounter with a personal encounter with a risen Savior, Jesus brings them out of that sadness, out of that place of fear, out of that place of hopelessness, because he can only do that because he is alive. A dead God can't do that. But because he's alive, suddenly everything changes. There's a great communicator, a Christian man called Max Licardo, and he speaks about the Easter story, and he asks this question. He says, "Do you ever feel like your world is stuck on Saturday? You know, for any number of reasons, we can find ourselves feeling like our life is stuck in a Saturday, in those emotions, in those feelings, locked up by those things. They were locked up by those emotions. You know, I think I've said many times, but for me, fear has been one of the biggest ways in my life that an encounter with a risen Savior has changed my life. You know, and there's a room full of people here who can testify that Jesus stepped into their situation and he brought them out of it. People here who have said goodbye to things that have locked them up. They were locked in that room, but people here can say, I've been set free from that. I've said goodbye to the things that locked my life up. Jesus helped me to say goodbye to fear, sorrow, rejection, shame, guilt, condemnation, regrets, addictions, chains, hopelessness, captivity, loneliness, and defeat. Jesus' resurrection means he can lead you out of a Saturday into Sunday. And lastly, I just want to say to you today this. Jesus wants to come near to you. In John 20, verse 19, in the New King James Version, it says this. Jesus came and stood in their midst. And that word midst is a really important word because Jesus didn't just stand on the edges of the room. He didn't just kind of suddenly turn around and he was sitting in a corner in a chair or something. He came and stood in the midst. And that word midst just means this. It means he came and he stood right in the middle of them. Right in the middle of what was going on. Not the other side of the door, not on the edges of things, right in the middle. He wanted them to know. And he wanted them to be sure. And he wanted them to believe and be in a place where they didn't even have a shadow of doubt that Jesus is alive. I just want to say to you today, as you're here today, that Jesus don't want to just kind of step in on the edges of your life. He doesn't want to be the other side of the door. Jesus wants to step right into the middle of your life. And he wants you to know he's alive. And when you realize that Jesus is alive, it changes everything. It changed everything. So as I just think about closing, I just want to highlight one thing that I believe that Jesus brought into that room that's the most important thing of all. Right into the midst. Right into the middle of their lives. Right into the middle of their situation. Two times he says this, peace be with you. Peace. Jesus goes on to talk to them about power and about purpose. They receive the Holy Spirit. He sends them out. But before anything else, he wants them to know peace. Friends, this Easter Sunday, I think the greatest need in our lives is to know the peace of God. Peace was the very first thing he brought into the midst on Easter Sunday when he appeared to them. Peace was what Jesus died for on Good Friday. We'll read a scripture in a moment about that. Peace he rose and offered on Easter Sunday. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says this, speaking of that Friday, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. He appears. He says, peace be with you. He shows them his hands. He shows them his sides, the scars where the nails have been, the spear have been. And he's literally saying to them, guys, I made peace with these. This was the price of the peace I want you to have. The peace, what is that peace? The peace of knowing your sins are forgiven. Peace with God the Father. Peace that my sins will no longer be held or counted against me. This is the peace the Bible speaks of. The peace of having Jesus in my life. The peace of knowing with assurance when I die, I will spend eternity in heaven. Max Lucado says, I believe if you don't have an answer for the grave, then you're stuck on Saturday for your whole life. I mean, you may have your moments, but if you don't have an answer for the grave, let me tell you, you're stuck on Saturday. And that's why we love Easter. Because to every single person, Easter gives us the promise that death is not a dead end, but it's simply an exit ramp from this life to the best life. Have you thought about how you'll face your final moments? It's not a pleasant thought, is it? But what would it take for you to be able in your final moments not to cower from death, but to face it? If not with excitement, then with courage. that we would face death unafraid. Let me tell you how Jesus enables us to do that. He moves us out of a Saturday mentality into a Sunday state of mind. He will take us from a Saturday where death has defeated life into a Sunday where life has defeated death. And he moves us from the last day of death into the first day of life. How do I find this peace? For he himself, the Bible says, is our peace. Romans 5 says, as we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. If I receive him, I place my faith and my trust in him. If I welcome him into my life, I receive the peace he died for. The peace of my sins forgiven. The peace of knowing they'll no longer be held or counted against me. The peace of having his presence in my life, walking through this life with me every day. The peace of knowing that when I die, I'll spend eternity with him in heaven. Someone once said, everything else we need that Jesus wants us to have in life is the effect of peace, not the cause. It is the fruit, and peace is the root. I need joy, I need hope, I need comfort, I need healing, I need assurance, I need answers, I need positivity, I need clarity, I need rest. It's what they were crying out for in that room. But peace with God is the root of it all. It's the fruit of peace. Joy is the fruit of having this peace. Hope is the fruit of having this peace. I just want to say to you today, we're going to listen to a song and I'll just close in prayer. If you're stuck in any kind of Saturday in your life, perhaps the music team can just come back. If you're stuck in any kind of Saturday in your life, you can know the joy of Sunday because Jesus is alive. I just want you to know this. It doesn't have to be Saturday anymore. It doesn't have to be Saturday in your thinking. It doesn't have to be Saturday in your feelings. It doesn't have to be Saturday in your outlook on life. There was a resurrection Sunday. And that means that there is now freedom, there is victory, there is forgiveness, and there is hope. And Watchman Nee said this, he said, our old history ends with the cross, and our new history begins with the resurrection. Christ is risen. Let's just listen to the words of this song. And as we just listen to this song, just perhaps just sit where you are and just close your eyes if you want to, or whatever you're comfortable doing. I'm just going to close in prayer. Thanks, guys.
When darkness veiled the sky, the day that Jesus died, in agony upon the bitter cross. They took his body down and laid it in a tomb. His friends believed that everything was lost. But when the third day came, that darkness turned to light, for Mary heard her name and saw the living Christ risen to set the captives free. To bring us home.
know, the really interesting thing is that there's an empty tomb. There's two angels there when Mary is one of the two women who gets there, and she didn't understand it. She didn't get it. It didn't kind of make sense. But you can read in John chapter 20 that the moment it all made sense and she suddenly realized that Jesus was alive and has a personal encounter with him was when Jesus called her by name. He just says, Mary. And in that moment, as he speaks her name, she realizes Jesus is alive. And, you know, I'm really conscious that when you have a day like this, that, and you preach a message like this, that to some people it may make sense, to others it may not make a lot of sense. But I come back to something I said earlier on, which is wherever you're at, whatever is happening, whatever you're thinking, feeling, or going through, it all makes sense when Jesus calls your name. And you hear him call your name. And I just want to close in prayer, because the sense I had in my heart was not to go for a kind of right now, like put your hands in the air kind of response or anything like that. I just want to pray, because I just had a sense in my heart that like Jesus would just speak to some people, even in this moment, just speak your name. It might be something that's just as, it's all real. I'm alive. I'll be hanging around at the end of the service. And see, I'm really content in the fact that if it's God and God's doing a real work in someone's life, you can, that, you know, what he's doing will, it's just going to take place. It's just going to happen in people's hearts. And so if God speaks to you and you know that, then I'd love for you just to come and just talk to me. If you're saying, hey, I want this peace, I want this joy, I want this hope, I want him to reach where I'm at, I want to get out of this, I want to know this peace, I want my sins forgiven, then Lord, I just pray right now. I don't want to just add anything more now, Lord. I just want to pray that in this moment right now, I thank you for every person who's come here today on Easter Sunday. Father, I thank you for every individual who's in this room. Lord, you know each and every one of us. Know our names. Lord, you know us inside out. You know us better than we know ourselves. Lord, we've all heard the same message. I just pray right now, Lord, would you just call names? Would you just speak into people's hearts as I pray right now? And just suddenly eyes would be opened and they would see it's you, that you're alive, that you love them, that you want a relationship with them, be part of their life. Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, just open eyes that people will see Jesus. Just thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for being with us.